Hello again, it's myself, Miles McKee, with the Sunday message of the Gospel of Truth, and I want to speak to you today about promises. Promises, part two of promises. We did part one last Sunday. But I just want to say that there is no possible situation that can be experienced by the believer that has not been provided for or anticipated by the word of God. And I want to read you a verse, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. It says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all he promised." Wow. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Now, we know, of course, that that was written for the children of Israel back in the day, but it still applies to us today. And there hasn't one word that God has ever promised has failed. Isn't that wonderful? Does that not give you goosebumps upon your goosebumps? It's amazing. Not one word has failed. It's like, now listen to this. Are you ready? Romans 8:32. Will you hear this for a promise? "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him give us all things?" Did you notice that? How shall he not give us all things? That's not what it says. It says, how shall he not freely, without charge, without cost, freely give us, with him, give us, with him, who's him? Christ. It's with Christ all the promises come to us. It's in Christ. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely, with him, give us all things?" In Christ Jesus, we have an everlasting, ever-flowing, overflowing river of supply. There's a river of supply of all we need for the believer. Now, if you're not a believer, I'm not guaranteeing you any supply from God. God could, in his mercy and his grace, no doubt visit your need and meet your need, whatever. But what for the believer? If there's whatever it is we need, it's in Christ, and we're in Christ, and the supply is there, and that he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely with him give us how many things? One or two things? Three or four things? Five or six things? No, he shall give us all things. In Christ Jesus, yeah, in Christ Jesus, we have that ever-flowing, overflowing river of supply for all we need. And it stands to reason that if God didn't withhold his son and he delivered him up to the cross for our sins, that innocent lamb, that spotless lamb delivered for me, delivered for you. Well, and if he did not withhold his son, he didn't spare the Savior in order that he might spare us. Oh, how then shall he not freely, without charge, freely give us it, all things? And that's with him. Just like it says in Ephesians 1:3. This is not a good program. What's wrong with me today? Promise. Ephesians 1:3. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Is this not enough for the believer? Is he not enough? Does he not thrill you? Oh, yes. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And then we've got Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All these things shall be added unto you. But first, wait a minute, hold on. Read what it says, Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now, the kingdom of God is his rulership. Seek to have his rulership. Wait a minute. That's quite a command, isn't it? It's a his rulership. He's in charge. Seek to have that. And his righteousness. Now, here's where we often go astray. Seek his righteousness. I used to think that that meant then you go around, you try to be as righteous as possible. And if you're as righteous as possible, then you'll get the old things. That's what I thought. But that's not true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is in Christ. I need to seek that. You need to seek. We need to seek to have it applied to us. He is our righteousness. He is our right standing before God. We bring him before the Father, before the throne of grace. It's his name. In his name we pray. He is our righteousness. And so as we seek to understand that and to have it applied to our hearts, then all these things, we get the all these things. We start to receive by faith all these things. And then there's Psalms 84:11. Says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Again, that can be used so legalistically. Oh, you're not having everything going your well. You must not be walking right, brother. You must not be walking right. Oh, how many times have I heard that? It's a load of nonsense. Hey, do you know who has walked uprightly? Jesus. He did it on our behalf. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't walk uprightly. We shouldn't try. But we should not put our confidence in our performance. We should not put our hope in our deeds. No, Christ has walked uprightly on our behalf. God has made all provision to them that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, last time we said there were thousands of promises in God's word and we needed to learn them. Well, I need to learn enough to get through. But it would be great, wouldn't it, if we memorized them all? You know, are there young believers listening to me? Let me tell you something. One of the many mistakes I made as a young believer, I wish I could undo it, was that somebody should have sat me down and said, memorize the promises. Memorize the word, memorize the promises especially, and claim them. Claim them as your own. I wish somebody had told me that. And if you're a young believer, it doesn't matter what age of a believer, I'm urging you to cash them in. I said, break through with them. And I want you to listen to me. Because you know what? There are two types of people listening to me today. Yeah, two types. Only two types. First type is this, those who hear this word and will profit from this word. And there are those who will hear this word and will walk away. And they'll walk away in worse shape than they were before they ever started to listen. Really? Is that the kind of hearers there are? Well, Hebrews 4, verse 2 says, the word was preached to them, but it didn't profit, not being mixed with faith. Oh, did you hear that? You sat in your church service, or you sit in your church service. Does the word preached profit? Well, it won't unless you mix it with faith. Unless you mix it with faith. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 talks and says, when they heard the word, they received it. Not as the word of man, but as the word of God, which effectively works in them that believe. Hey, listen to me. Your heart is either a sponge or a rock. Did you hear? Listen, if you've got a sponge, you'll say, Lord, teach me today. I want to absorb your word. I want to grow by your word. I want to profit from your word. So let's continue talking about the promises. And what can we discover this time that we do it? Well, remember last week, we said that we discovered there were promises for eternal life and salvation. Even the salvation, our salvation, is bound up in the name of Jesus. You shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We've got the promise of forgiveness when we as Christians sin, and we have an advocate with the Father, and our fellowship with the Father is not broken. Wonderful promise. That way we discovered that we've got a promise that he will never, God will never leave us, never leave us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ways of looking at it. He will never, 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 never leave us. We learned that last week. So let's look at some promises and see whether he's enough. See whether Jesus is enough. And I ask you right now to bow your heart in prayer. Brief prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness, for your provision. Thank you in Jesus' name. Help us to understand this message again. In Jesus' lovely name. Okay, here's the first promise for today. We get a promise in the Word of God for daily victory over sin. Did you hear that? Where's that? Where's that talk about that? Romans 6:14. Wonderful promise. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, I used to get threatened by that verse. I used to run around that verse, just scoot around it, drive around it. I didn't want to listen to that because I thought that was a threat. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, it terrified me because I would sin and then I'd get condemned and I'd say I'm such a failure and sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, you must not be saved then. Have you ever felt like that? Reading that promise? Reading that scripture? But here's the thing. This is not a threat. This is a promise. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, it does have. Well, then claim this promise. Go before God with it. Father, in Jesus' name, you said this, so I am going to confess it. Confess it day and night, day and night. You get tempted. Confess this. Sin shall not, it shall not have dominion over me. No, it shan't. Do warfare. Stand up. Kick that old unbelief. Temptation. Go away from me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. What a precious promise. Sin shall not be our master. In the same chapter, verse 18, it says, we are servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. No, sin is not our master. Sin is not our ruler. Oh, now, that scripture doesn't give us a promise that we will never sin. But rather than sin ruling us, we are free from the ruling passion of sin in our life. We are under grace. We've been given a new nature. My old nature with all its sinful desires, well, it's not going to rule me, folks. It's not going to rule me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Can you say that? Say it. Claim it. Make it a part of you. Download it into your system. Wow. Then consider Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What a great promise. No, it's not a command. It's a promise. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, look, let me try and explain it. It's like there are two roads. One is the flesh road, and the other is the Spirit road. What Paul is saying here is walk down the Spirit road. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Did you hear that? That's interesting. How do we do it? How do we walk down that road? Well, Ephesians 5 and verse 19 gives us one of the ways. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Well, do you know someone? Have you ever prayed the psalms? You haven't? Oh, it's good. Good to pray the psalms. It's good to pray the scriptures and worship God in the scriptures and hymns. You know, I have a hymn book. No, actually, I need a new version of it because the type is too small. Years ago when I first started using it, it was big type. But now, something wrong with the type. It's small. But I have often used hymns to pray the hymns. You'd be sitting there quiet, nobody around, pray the hymns. And can it be that I should gain an entrance in my Savior's love? Died he for me, who caused his shame for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love. And can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Lord, it's amazing love. Thank you, Lord. So you take that, the hymn, and you're praying it. Hallelujah. And can it be, Lord, can it be that I should gain an entrance? That's all of grace. You have saved me by grace. You see, when I act like that, I'm walking down the Spirit road, and I will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Look, these are promises that the devil is not going to beat you. Jesus beat him, destroyed him, stripped him of his authority at the cross. He devastated him, his work at the cross. At the cross. At the cross. That's where our victory is. The devil can't keep you from God. And here, in a very practical way, just think of the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no temptation overtaken you, but such is common, but as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Oh, thank you, Lord. But he will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There's a way of escape from the temptation. Remember Joseph working in Potiphar's house, and Mrs. Potiphar, woo, she had the hots for her Joseph. Oh, Joseph, what are you going to do? She's after you, Joseph. Do you know what Joseph did when Mrs. Potiphar tried to have her wicked way with him? He ran. He didn't quote any formula. He ran. He ran out of it. He ran away from temptation. Well, what does Paul tell Timothy? Flee youthful lusts. Look, just as there's a way into temptation, there's a way out. No valley is so dark that the Lord cannot make a way through it. Sin shall not have dominion over us. That's a promise. God will always bring us back to himself. Hey, listen, you feel far from God. Right now, just ask him to restore that fellowship. To have mercy. Well, he does have mercy. But look for that cleansing and look for that power and authority to walk with him. God will always bring us back to himself. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And then, there's promises that God will give us grace to get us through the Christian life. And for example, he will teach us. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way which you should go. Have you ever just been in a situation where you say, oh, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know where I'm what I'm supposed to do. I love the Lord, but I'm kind of stuck. Well, again, Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide thee with thine eye. I will guide thee. So how do you claim that and make it your own? You pray it. You claim it by faith. And you say, Lord, you said you would instruct me and teach me. Lord, I have lots of suggestions, lots of plans. I leave them alone. Leave them. I just get rid of them. I only want you. But you said that you would teach me. You said you would instruct me. You said that you would guide me. I thank you. I claim that. I thank you. Well, does that mean, Brother McKee, that instantly you're going to see the result of confessing that promise? No. It might do, but not necessarily. But you keep on going with that promise and others like it.
Well, I just don't know. I just so very, very, very down in the mouth. I'm down in the mouth, very depressed.
Look, I wouldn't make fun of your depression. I suffer from depression. Did you know that? I do. It comes and goes. But I have discovered some things which give me tremendous help. And that's there are promises that he'll fill us with joy. Do you hear me? Psalm 105, verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen ones with gladness. There's joy and gladness in this Christian life. Isaiah 12, 3 says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In salvation, there's tremendous joy. Now, I'm talking about one who struggles sometimes to see the gospel. I struggle sometimes to claim the gospel. But there's joy. Isn't there not joy in the gospel, the wells of salvation? Draw. What do you draw? Well, draw out of it. Justification. What about that? What joy there is that I have been declared, you have been declared not guilty. That's what justification is. It's a declaration. We are declared not guilty. What about the draw from the world? What else can you draw? Reconciliation. Christ has reconciled me to the Father. I was out of the way. I was his enemy, but I've been brought back. Oh, what gladness there is. What a promise of joy. Of joy. You know, if you think it's spiritual to walk around with a big long face on you, you've got it all wrong. Look, oh my goodness. Look, I've met some mosquitoes with more joy than some of the Christians I have met. I can't call names, but you could preach on joy. They'd still complain and murmur and go, I have it so bad. Yeah. Listen, that's not the way we live. Draw joy. Look, if we've got depression, get it treated. Yes, get it treated. You're a cod if you don't get your that treated. But at the same time, don't be depending on the God, on the doctors. Go to the wells of salvation and draw with joy. It'll be wonderful. And then, look, we've got to move along. Spent a bit too long here. Have you ever felt like you would like to serve him, but you're not really serving him? You could do so much more. Well, Philippians 2:13 is a good promise for you. It says, for it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Wow. It's God who works within you to will and to do his good pleasure. Let me illustrate that. Let's say, I'll show you how that works. Okay, just imagine. This father has a son, and he says to the son, I'd really like some chocolate. Oh, but we'd have to go to the shop to get it. There's none in the house. Well, says the father to the son, go and buy me some chocolate. But dad, hey, I'm broke. Oh, okay. Here's a couple of dollars. Now go to the shop. And so he goes to the shop and he buys a chocolate and he brings it back. And He gives it to his father. And the father said, wow, you brought this for me? You bought this for me? Wow, son. Thank you. Here's 10 bucks. Go and buy yourself something. What? Okay, listen to the scripture. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here's it. Here's the truth of it. God wills that we do something for him, and then he gives us the desire to do it. And then he gives us the ability to do it. And then he gives us all kinds of praise when we do it. What an amazing Savior. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. He puts a desire in us. He gives us the provision, the ability to go and do it. And then he blesses us. He rewards us when we do it. What an amazing Savior. But you know, there's more promises. There's a promise that he'll strengthen us and help us in our daily life. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that stunning? God invades our very daily life, and he says, I'll help. I'll help. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Could you not claim that? Claim that promise. What an amazing promise. Lord, you said you would help. I fill in the blank, but here's my situation. You know the situation. You take it to God. What a wonderful promise. Do you know there's promises that God will use you in a mighty way? Are you listening? God will use you. You know what? I'm so pathetic. No, God will use you in a mighty way. I'll give you an example, an illustration of it. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Scripture says, call unto me and I will answer. I will answer, not maybe, not if I'm not too busy, I'll answer. No, he says, call unto me, I will answer, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What an amazing promise. Do you want to be used by God? Well, here's a promise. Claim it. Make it your own. Download it. There's a fellow called Dawson Trotman who was gripped by this scripture. And he began praying. Now, at that time, he was teaching children in young adults in Sunday school. And he started to pray for them using this scripture. I'll show you great and mighty things. Call on me and I will answer. And so people started getting saved all over the place. And so he says, well, if that's good enough for here, let's pray it over in the city, which was Los Angeles. And people started getting saved and they started meetings here, there, and everywhere. And then he says, well, if it'll work in the city, it'll work in the state. So California came under the prayer, shall call on to me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you know is not off. And then they looked at the map of the United States. Why not in every place? Let's have meetings. Let's get this gospel out. And pretty soon they looked at the world map and said, may we reach the people of the world. And he began this mighty movement of evangelism and discipling of sailors, especially. And during the World War II, he had a huge discipleship program built up. And by the end of the war, the men that he had discipled and helped were now bringing the gospel all over the world. And his organization is still going today. It became known as the Navigators. And gosh, they have thousands of full-time workers bringing the gospel to every nation, nearly every nation. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things which you knowest not of. Would you like to be significant? Well, you are significant. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus died for you. I'm talking to believers now. Jesus died to you. Well, I'm not a believer, but Jesus died for me. Oh, don't you be so silly. Don't you be so silly. Why are you not believing in him, trusting in him? You're significant. If Jesus went to the cross for you, you matter. You really matter. Oh, well, we have promises that God will comfort us in every trial. This is amazing. Listen to this. John 14:16, and I will pray, this is Jesus talking, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And when we think of the word comforter, unfortunately, if you're living in the States, that comforter means a blanket. Over here, we call them, or in Ireland, we would call them duvets. But here, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit a comforter. And a comforter, a comfort comes from two words, two Latin words. One, com, C-O-M, which means with. And then fort, comfort, fort, F-O-R-T, means to strengthen and to fortify. And so the Holy Spirit is a heavenly strengthener. And his comfort makes us strong. His comfort gives us backbone. And Jesus says, I'll send you another comforter, and he'll enable you. A comforter, come forth. He'll enable you to stand in all the trials of your life. Don't you want to claim that as a promise for you? Do you want to just seize it, download it? Oh, he doesn't want us to complain about our situation. He wants us to be strong in him. Hey, did I ever tell you about the most comfortable passage in the Bible? I didn't. Okay. The most comfortable passage in the Bible is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. It says this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you count the number of times that the word comfort is used? Five times in those two verses. And this promise tells us that God will strengthen us. God will fortify us in every trouble, in every trial, in every affliction. Do you believe that? Are you going to take the word seriously? Come on. Are you going to believe that and thank the Lord for that and claim that and download it? Take it. Make it your own. God will fortify you. He will fortify me. Is this a reality? Yes. You know, when a loved one dies, we can claim this. God will strengthen us. All of you have had loved ones who have died and who are going to die. Claim this promise. Let this word get into you. The Lord says, let me comfort you. Let me make you strong. And you in turn will be able to help others. You say, I'm not up to the task. Oh, well, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 10 says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So you don't feel up to it. Hey, welcome to the club. But we're dependent on him, not us. You know, it's a wonderful thing being a Christian. Now, this is not a good illustration, but it has to work. It has to do. There's a sense in which we're in a partnership with the Lord. Now, we're not really, because he's in charge, in total charge. But you know the way you get investors, and somebody comes along and says, here's a great idea to open up such and such a thing, a shop, a computer repair, whatever. And I've got this great idea. I know how to do it, a great plan, everything. But I don't have any money. But what I do have is sweat equity. Wow, sweat equity. What's that? Well, I have the experience, but I don't have the money. Oh, yeah, well, everybody knows that who's doing business. And so that's what it's like, in a sense, with the Lord, except here's where it changes. As Christians, we are, in one sense, in partnership with God, but here's how we must understand the partnership. God says he's coming into partnership with us. Well, you say, yeah, so I've got to bring something to the arrangement. Well, the Lord says, okay, here's what I want you to bring. I want you to bring your weakness. I'll furnish the strength. I want you to bring your nothingness. I'll bring you my everything. I want you to bring your sin, and I tell you what I'll do. I'll bring my righteousness. Hey, it's all of God. It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. It's his sufficiency. His sufficiency. Let me tell you, if you've got a business like that, the business will grow and we will grow. Jesus paid it all. Yeah, we're not asked to pay for anything. Jesus supplies all we need. And when trouble comes and life caves in, you will be able to say, Lord, I trust you. I'm ready to walk ahead and go forward in faith. There's an old southern down by Alabama, this old boy lived. And he was a preacher. He was known for being a man of faith. And somebody said, you've got so much faith that if God told you to jump straight through a stone wall, you'd jump. Well, says the preacher, if God told me to jump, it would be my business to jump. And it would be the Lord's business to make a hole in the wall. That's it. That's how to believe God. That's believing God. Oh, look, there's so many more promises. Get into the Bible yourself. Get into the Word. Download this sermon. It's free. Get the scriptures of it. Oh, you'll see that he'll never leave us. There's salvation in him and eternal life and continued fellowship with him. And we have daily victory over sin, and we have grace to live the Christian life. And he comforts us, makes us strong in every trial. And that's the gospel truth. Let's pray again. Father, please, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. You strengthen us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given these promises so that we wouldn't just be drifting from meeting to meeting, but our Christian life would be vibrant and taking a hold of reality and truth. Help us all, in Jesus' name, to be like that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. If there's anyone, Father, look, if there's anyone listening who's not saved, would you save them? Have mercy upon them. Be gracious unto them in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.